Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Paranormal experiences don't really work to a timescale, and therefore, we invite you to listen to a dark minisode. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the final minisode of Season 14. Firstly, I'd like to thank each and every one of you for choosing to spend your time with me here midweek on these minisodes. Secondly, as has been asked both via email and on our social medias, yes, indeed, the minisodes will continue into Season 15. And therefore, that's why once again we turn our focus onto you guys, the listeners. Because without your experiences being sent in to us, we have no minisodes. We have no show. So don't forget, if you have a true paranormal experience that you wish to share of any size or length, email it over to contact@thedarkparanormal.com. Just please remember that if you wish your experience to feature on The Dark Paranormal itself, we do require it to be at least 6 sides of a Word document, or around 3,500 words. As you know, on the main show, we like to focus on one experience only, and we've found that length to be just about right to cover one experience. However, almost obsessively, I am trying to create the largest catalogue of paranormal experiences that I can. So therefore, irrelevant of length, please do send in your experiences to contact@thedarkparanormal.com. Over 90% of the experiences that we receive, irrelevant of length, do find airtime, be that on a minisode, a main episode, or on our Patreon-only show, Dark Bites. Because, as I always say, this is your show. I'm merely the curator. And in my role as curator, I must say I'm exceedingly excited about Season 15. We have some old faces returning, and we have some new ones that I think you'll wish had never been described to you. Of course, we'll repeat this date on Friday, but the date you need to mark in your calendars for the season debut of Season 15 is Friday, the 29th of March, or Good Friday. It feels almost sacrilegious to say, especially as a lapsed Catholic, that I can think of no better way to start the Easter holidays than with some terrifying true tales from the darker side of the spiritual realm. However, with announcements and preamble out the way, let's get right in to the final minisode of Season 14. And this email comes in from Joanna. Hi, I thought I'd send my collection of stories about the house I've lived in for 20 years. For some context, my sister and I are identical twins, and we are both quite severely disabled, and we rely on 24-hour care. When I was younger, myself, my sister, and my mum and our carers all used to experience a lot of paranormal activity. It never felt evil, just strange and abnormal. When I was little, certain paranormal occurrences used to happen on quite a regular basis. One of the things that happened recurrently was our carer, at night time, would hear the door handle go down, the front door open and close, and then footsteps would walk down the corridor that leads from the front door. The carers would go and check, of course, but no one would be there. So they would lock the front door, but still the door would continue to open, and the footsteps down the corridor could still be heard throughout the night. This used to happen quite a lot when we were young, but it's now only a rare occurrence as we've gotten older. One night, when we were around 6 years old, our carer was sitting on the living room floor, facing the large conservatory doors that span the length of most of our living room. The conservatory door is opposite the living room door, and my mum's bedroom is next to the living room, as we live in a bungalow. From those two rooms, there is one long corridor that leads to the other half of the house, and that's where mine and my twin sister's bedrooms are located. For these stories, I'm going to change the people's names who were involved. The carer, Tony, was sitting in the living room with our cat, when, in the reflection of the conservatory door, both he and my cat saw a woman in white walk out of my mum's bedroom without opening the bedroom door, and then walk down the corridor towards our bedrooms. When our cat saw the figure, her heckles went up, and she ran and hid. Around 20 seconds later, my sister, Annabella, shouted to Tony through the monitor to say that she could feel something sitting on her bed. When he went to go and check, there was nothing there. The next morning, when Tony told my mum what had happened, she said that that night she'd woken up because she had felt a dip in her bed like someone was sitting there. But she'd managed to go back to sleep. And this all happened about 10 minutes before Tony and the cat saw the figure of the woman in white. One night, my mum had gone out and left us with the night carer. We were only young and in bed anyway. We had an old SATS monitor plugged into the living room, just in case we got poorly and needed to monitor our oxygen levels. Now, this was a really old SATS monitor, and it needed to be plugged in to be able to turn on. When my mum got home, the carer told her she'd been sitting in the living room with the monitor and it turned itself on. It then started alarming to say there was no heartbeats as it wasn't attached to anyone. So she walked over, turned it off and sat back down. Later that night, it turned itself back on again. So she turned it off and this time she unplugged it at the socket, so it couldn't turn back on. Later that night, she came to check on me and my sister and heard the alarm from the living room at the other end of the house. When she got there, the SATS monitor was still unplugged, but had somehow turned itself on, despite there being no electricity going to it. She told my mum it had continued to do this several times after being unplugged, but it stopped as soon as my mum arrived home, and it never did it again. As we got older, these paranormal experiences seemed to lessen, but we still never feel alone. My sister and I are now 23, and we just experience smaller things, like shadows out of the corner of our eyes, and knocks and bangs at night. Yet, we've recently had a large number of new people in the house, and we all think someone has brought something unwanted with them. We've been noticing things, like someone breathing in your ear. Shadows appearing out of nowhere, all over the last month. When it happens, everyone in the house feels the energy change, and it feels uncomfortable and nerve-wracking. One evening, around a week ago, it was just me, Annabella, and a carer called Kristen. And we were all in the house, as my mum had nipped out for an hour. Kristen was stood in Annabella's room when a folded-up camping table moved across the room and fell on the carer. Now, this table was propped against a cabinet, and the carer was stood totally still when the table basically flew at her. Later that night, around 1 a.m, my mum was in bed and it was just myself, Annabella and Kristen awake in the house. All of a sudden, for no reason, all three of us felt the energy in the house change. It felt like we were all on edge. My sister went to bed around 1:30 a.m. and this is when it got worse. Kristen was sat in the staff room, which is next to Annabella's bedroom and opposite mine. She'd left the staff room door open, and my dog always sleeps on the sofa next to Kristen. My dog got up off the sofa and went and stood in the hallway, staring at a blank wall. He stood there for around 5 minutes, refusing to move. Eventually, he got back on the sofa and slightly settled. Annabella shouted Kristen and said she was convinced that someone was stood behind her, staring at her. Well, this was impossible, as Kristen was in the staff room and I was bedbound. But she was that scared, she made Kristen put a pillow over her head so she could try and get some sleep. Now, this is really unusual for Annabella. She's grown up in our haunted house and therefore is quite sensitive to the paranormal. She was used to seeing things. But this is the first time I'd ever seen her scared by it. But at the same time, this felt sinister. Once Kristen placed the pillow over her head and left the room, Annabella soon fell asleep. Around 15 minutes later, Kristen was in the staff room, when, once again, she heard footsteps nearby. She knew this was impossible, as she knew my mum was still in bed and both me and my sister are unable to walk. As she heard this, my dog, who was still on the sofa, jumped up and started growling into thin air. Now, this is extremely unusual, as my dog, whose name is Addy, usually goes to sleep around 10 p.m. and doesn't move until the morning. But for the next hour, myself and Kristen continued to hear weird noises, like banging inside the house, but also in the back garden. Around 2:30 a.m, I decided to go to bed. So I shouted for Kristen to come and help me get ready for bed. When she came into my room, the dog got up and came and sat outside my bedroom door, like he was guarding us. When Kristen came into my room, all of a sudden, it became freezing cold. Both of us were practically shivering just from how cold my room had become. I managed to ignore all the noises and fell asleep relatively fast. The next day, we decided enough was enough, and we saged the entire house top to bottom. paying special attention to things like mirrors. Since then, thankfully, nothing else unwanted has happened. Deep down, I do hope that the nice spirits that I grew up with have managed to stay around, as I would feel a comfort knowing that they were watching over us. Joanna. Well, thank you ever so, Mana, for providing us with our final minisode for season 14. And what a minisode it was. I have a small smile on my face at the moment because I am noticing more and more as I do these episodes, tiny elements of serendipity. For example, literally before I started recording this episode, I was doing some research on an experience somebody has sent in for season 15 regarding mirrors and how they can act as portals to other dimensions. And you end your experience by saying you saged your house from top to bottom, paying extra attention to things like mirrors. Now, people may well say, surely this is something that comes up regularly in a paranormal podcast. Well, I can tell you, no. By this coming Friday, we'll have covered 140 true paranormal experiences. And I can genuinely count on one hand the number of those which involve any sort of spiritual activity around a mirror. And so I like the fact I'm ending season 14's minisode series with a smile, because it feels slightly like a God wink, letting us know we're all collectively on the right track by even discussing this topic. I'll speak to you all again on Friday for our season 14 finale, where we get Emma's story. Until then, stay safe, and we'll be back with more minisodes in season 15. But for now, take care, and I'll speak to you soon.